This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Joyce Goh and Kusu Chong here with me as we take a look at the top business news of the morning. According to the Malaysian Reserve, they spoke to some sources who said that veteran journalist Wan Hamidi Hamid could be the front runner for the top job at Bernama, the Malaysian National News Agency. Could we see a new CEO helm Bernama come mid-October?
Well, what's on his CV, okay? Wan Hamidi was the former editor-in-chief of The Rocket from 2009 to 2014, which I think is the DAP kind of like publication, mm-hmm. right? He started at Berita Harian in 1986 before moving to The Star. And now currently serves as the deputy director of research for social advancement, or REFSA, which is kind of like a think tank. But it's also politically affiliated, as I understand. For him to be, and obviously this is unattributed, right? It's a source's story.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this ran in the Malaysian Reserve. So we don't know whether this is a fact or not.
But the source said that the letter of appointment is out.
Yeah, Malaysian Reserve said that, you know, his appointment is, in quotes, very important for Bernama in another quote, current political climate. So, well, Bernama is currently undergoing a restructuring exercise. Remember, this includes the proposed merger with RTM. Mm-hmm. That was what the Communications and Multimedia Minister Gobind Singh Dio said. He talked about that, and a possible merger could create a media giant for some 20,000 staff.
Yeah, I believe there were reports that the merger could be delayed, I believe, until year end. They're still seeking some review. But let's come back and talk about what, if this story is in fact true, what this means, right? So what would an appointment of Wan Hamidi mean for an institution like Bernama? I believe currently they don't have a CEO, they have a general manager, and the general manager holds all the decision-making power within that office for management. So I'm not sure what the CEO, what that would entail, what that role would entail. But what's definitely, I guess, raising some eyebrows this morning is the fact that, for one, Wan Hamidi is an outsider. And it's very rare. I used to work in Bernama. I started my career in journalism there. And it's very rare that you would promote outsiders instead of from within the ranks.
Well, that's true, but I think the larger issue is that argument that Wan Hamidi's appointment could be a bit of a knee-jerk reaction in the opposite direction.
Yes.
Because Bernama in the past used to be very much an establishment entity, right? A government mouthpiece, if you like. And for them now, or rather for the powers that be, to be appointing a former EIC of The Rocket, which at the time was an opposition newspaper, into the helm, outsider or not, are we, you know, exchanging
so you think
one?
The pendulum has swung too far in the other direction, right? Because we want to move away from media or news organizations being politically linked.
Yes,
that's right.
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
right. And what we do know is that I think RTM has an annual allocation of about over 400 million ringgit. A merger with RTM and Bernama would entail the amalgamation of about 20,000 people. Mm. Quite a sizable number, which are reporters. There's television, there's radio stations, there's print as well. There's all kinds of other offshoot ancillary products as well. And we spoke to Gobind about this, right? And I think the merger discussion at that time was about merging the news teams and to be possibly covering the region, a la the Nikkei, for example, a la the CCTV. Is it CC?
CCN.
CCN,
Chinese,
for example.
CC.
A la the BBC. And to do it with some, you know, panache, right? Obviously. So is Wan Hamidi the right person to do that?
But, yeah, you know, but he was from... Just to be fair to him, he's not... So The Rocket was his last appointment, right?
Yeah,
but
his
he
last
was
appointment.
Previously also from Berita Harian.
He
so
started
he has,
in Berita Harian, yeah, then he right. moved on to Star. But coming back to your question, Mel, on a CEO, like what's he going to do? Because if you look at media groups, like for example, Star and even The Edge, you have a CEO role.
That's the money side,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, correct.
Look after the business.
Yeah, and then the EIC, where they do editorial, right?
So, Editor-in-chief,
yeah. So perhaps Wan Hamidi could be going in to look at the business side of Bernama or how to go forward with regards to the business of that media group. Mm. And when it comes to editorial decisions, they will have their own editor-in-chief to drive that.
Well, Mel, you had him on Pressing Matters. What's he like anyway?
I definitely did not ask him questions in that accent. But he spoke to Sharad Kutan, I believe. And, you know, he had interesting views in the way he works. So I think it's interesting coming from a publication or a news organization that was not considered mainstream. So, and was considered opposition at that time. So having to fight against the current of mainstream media, I think that was interesting. So he knows the struggles. He knows, I do believe he knows the struggles. So perhaps, you know, we can look forward to Bernama as a neutral platform of news dissemination in the future.
Well, hopefully, but the fact that his last role was at the Rocket,
yeah,
you know,
that raises a lot of eyebrows. I'm not too happy about that.
And but also, remember, we were talking about how political links with media. I mean, look at what happened post May 9th. Look at what happened to The Star. Look at what happened to Media Prima.
Well, look at what happened to Utusan. Utusan has now fallen into the financial distress, PN17. And now you've got the editor, former editor there, Zainuddin Mahidin. Also, incidentally, the former information minister for the country, warning that if Utusan doesn't change his ways and alter its political affiliations to one which is more driven by the news gathering quality, then Utusan is going to die. And I find this very distressing because Utusan, first published in 1939, the country's oldest Bahasa paper, right? And preceding Star by 32 years, because Star ran its first issue in 1971. Utusan is 1939, very esteemed publication, very respected back in the day. Today, shadow of its former self.
Could I just make a quick correction? Bernama does have a CEO at the moment, so it's no longer general manager. When I was there, it was general manager. So it's now CEO, and the current CEO is Dato' Zulkifli Saleh, who I think was promoted from the ranks from editor-in-chief.
From within
the ranks, yes, okay. That's right.
Well, coming back to even if you're talking about Utusan, yeah, look at the stock price that has fallen off the cliff. Media Prima and Star as well. I think Star right now is one of its all-time low.
Star is right now trading at 87.5 cents, which is half a cent higher than its all-time low in 1998 of 87 cents.
Historical low.
Okay. All-time low.
Well, yeah. And then looking at Media Prima as well, the stock at Media Prima recently, they had to sell land. I mean, they sold unlock asset value of the land that they have.
They sold Balai Berita and
the Bangsa Prime land.
Right? Yep. 280 million ringgit to PNB in a leaseback scheme. Now they've got some breathing room, but what's next for them?
Yeah, could there be more M&As happening in the media space?
Well, you know, in June, we had sources talk to Star Biz, and apparently Ananda Krishna was believed to be looking at a corporate exercise between Maxis and Astro. So that was the idea, was to bring together tech and media and address all the changes within that landscape.
So a lot happening in the media segment post May 9th.
I wonder whether we could see more.
Factors. Yeah, right. Definitely. Yeah.
Let's take a quick look at an announcement out of Putrajaya yesterday. It is considering a new debt issuance as an option to meet its financing needs. And economists expect the government to source money from within the country. So tapping local funds to fulfill the government's priority of finding the lowest cost financing.
That's right. And Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng has come out to say that there are several options available for the government to meet financing needs in the short term. He's saying that, you know, firstly, the government's going to find the lowest financing cost.
Well, what this development does basically is a few things, right? It allows the Malaysian government to lower the borrowing cost, because I think the cost associated with issuing Malaysian government securities to local domestic institutions is considerably lower, I think, than from foreign sources. It also allows the country to defend the currency in a way, because right now we've got quite a portion, I think around about 40% of our local government bonds being bought, being owned by foreign entities.
Okay, but those are all the pros, right? What are some of the cons?
Well, I'm not sure, actually, to be honest. I guess, what are some of the cons? Maybe a limited base, for example.
It could be a much more limited base than if you were to go overseas for funding.
And if things go awry or belly up, then everything's concentrated within the country, right?
Yeah, and on strategies to meet their financing needs, I think they're looking at a combination of issuing debt and asset monetization. That's going to be considered. They're also looking to monetize some of its non-critical and non-strategic assets.
Which means, in English,
perhaps
selling off land,
or selling land, or selling buildings. Yes.
Whenever I see monetized non-strategic asset, it just means selling land or selling some property.
Well, I think I've got the right ticker on my Bloomberg. So the 10-year benchmark government bond has a coupon rate of 3.73%. So if you subscribe to the MGS or the 10-year, and that's the benchmark 10-year, right? You're paying 3.7%. It's all right, isn't it? I mean, you know, your mortgage, you pay about 5.5% or 4.5%, depending on what kind of credibility you have. So it's a reasonably cheaper form of financing. I think, and also basically we're about 6 weeks away from budget 2019. Mm-hmm. So this kind of messaging gives bondholders, gives the capital markets, give the bond markets some kind of visibility as to where the Malaysian government is going to go.
All right, we've got the opening numbers from Bursa Malaysia going to be brought to you by Keith Kam in the 9 o'clock news bulletin next on BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with a Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.